to me, bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy? And welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bill Dawes, the man, the myth, the legend, the brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Did you just get your brown belt, or did you have it for a while?
No, because of the COVID, it was kind of pushed. I was supposed to test about it like a year ago, but I got it for about like 4 months.
Now, do you do any striking?
Huh? I used to train at Legends with Caro Parisian. Do you remember Caro Parisian?
Of course,
that I remember wacky Caro. Armenian.
Yeah, of course.
And I decided to do it right next to a train track, Adam, just to make this really convenient. Perfect. Should I mute this for a second?
why don't you just go on the track? Just lay down on the track. Just for all you guys who think that podcasting is easy, try talking to someone who's on a train track. I was going to do a terrible Matt Hughes joke, but I'm not going to do it because what's the point of that? That would be mean. I'm happy Matt's doing better, by the way. Matt's fucking kicking ass and recovering. I'm surprised he's not signed by Triller now. I'm surprised Jake Paul hasn't called out Matt Hughes, because people that won't even know they got hit by a train and he couldn't walk would be like, dude, he just knocked out Matt Hughes. Anyway, so what were we saying? Your brown belt?
It's the longest train in the world. I'm in like an old-timey historic town.
The longest train
track is like, period.
It's a longer train than on Magana, actually. Angela Magana did not have a train as long as her. We don't believe in houses anymore, or like apartments, or just doing it in even a car. Now we're at like, we were at a comedy club last week.
I was doing a show in Addison Improv, which you love, right?
I've never been there.
You've never been there?
No.
Oh, they would love you, man. This fucking train is the longest train. Anyway. So I'm driving back to Austin, and I was like, oh, fuck. I can't find a Starbucks. I had to find an old historic village with Wi-Fi.
Awesome. This is not going to be frustrating at all, especially since we have John Dodson as well as Mason Jones, who's going to be Skyping or Zooming in from Wales. So this is going to be great. All right.
I'll just mute it when he's on. I've never seen a train this fucking long. But I'm also Welsh, so I'd like to hear what he has to say. Oh, I'm going to mute this.
All right. Oh, please, mute the whole podcast. Just turn it off, actually. Fucking, why do we – just, you know what? Everyone turn off the podcast and just everyone imagine what we would have said. And then that'll be the podcast. Just think about – just think what would we have said, and then there's your podcast. All right. Is the train still going? This fucking train's really going? Oh, my God. All right. So you – like when you were in your car and you were pulling over – did you think maybe I shouldn't be near a fucking train railroad track? Like maybe was the landing strip fucking taken? Were we gonna go where the planes land? Was that actually, or maybe a fucking well? Why don't we go on the border while people are sneaking in?
The airport was too far away. Yeah. I was looking for a Starbucks, and it was like, oh, there's a Starbucks 0.3 miles away. And I'm like, I'll go to the next one. And the next one's 50 minutes away. So this is my only option.
So, all right, a couple things. So you were going to get your black belt, and then striking, right? You used to train with Caro Parisian.
Yeah, so I was basically a beginner at Legends on North La Brea, the old location. Did you ever train there?
Yeah, all the time. That's where I started. That's where I trained with Alan Juban and Connor Hewn. I used to coach wrestling there. Yeah.
And Caro was just like, okay, guys, put on some gloves and just spar. So I had like five fingers. I got like a broken nose and a black eye, chipped tooth, just because he had no rules. He was like, just do takedowns, a little like light ground and pound. And later when I started really training, I was like, that was the most irresponsible shit in the world.
That's crazy. You want to hear something funny, something similar. So Mayhem Miller, by the way, who a lot of people have tuned in because they were fans of Mayhem, and then when we had a falling out, they left, but then people stayed. So if you stayed in the, because you like the podcast, even though the Mayhem thing happened, I appreciate that. He will be coming back, whatever he wants. I don't want to force him. It's, you know, he's you know, when you get out of jail for a year, there's an adjustment period. But he called me up and he's like, hey, do you have wrestling mats? Because I want to coach kids. I don't have any mats anymore because I gave them away when we moved. So I called my buddy Ian Harris. You know Ian Harris?
Yeah, I know he is. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I know he is. Yeah.
Ian's a really funny comic, really good guy. Also, like, a great MMA trainer. Like, he trains a bunch of fighters, a bunch of pros, and he owns a gym called Fight Science. And I sent Jay Moore over there. He hits me up. I've sent a lot of fighters over there, a lot of wrestlers. He'll hit me up and be like, hey, I need some wrestling. I got a guy wrestling, a D1 guy. So that's the guy. And Ian's like my guy. He's a really nice guy. So I tell him, I say, hey, Mayhem. I call him up. I said, listen, Jason just got out of jail. He needs a kind of a fresh start. He needs a gym. He just was in Orange County. Now he has a couple guys he wants to train. No problem. So Jason's been like training there the last 3 days. He's been coaching over there. He's been coaching, but the first day he goes to like the pro practice to help with the pros, and he told me some guy just walked in and got the wrong class, like some rugby player, never fought before, never trained before, and decided to stay for the pro practice. And Jason, he came in literally off the street. So Jason like has been in jail. He walks into a gym. Now Mayhem Miller's coaching, and he stays. And Jason was like, dude, the guy threw around half the kids, but he didn't know what he's doing. He just literally, he like knew he was a rugby player. So he was just throwing people. But Ian said he came back. He's like, yeah, this one guy came, went to the wrong practice, and he had two black eyes, but he loves it. And Jason, so he wants to stay, but he's like, he's not letting him stay unless he actually takes a class or two. He can't just show up. It's not a fight club. But that was just making me fucking laugh. It was just hard. It was hard because, you know, yesterday I went to see, it's been really hard not coaching. Like, first of all, I moved an hour and a half from where I used to coach. I don't know if I'm even going to coach anyway because I got a kid. It takes me, before it was like 45 minutes each way, and I'm not getting paid much. You know, it's a, you know, like 20, 30 bucks a session or something. It's just, I do it for like the karma and spirituality and coaching. Getting me out of fucking this crazy part of Hollywood, giving back. You know, there's a lot of reasons I do it. It's a lot of them are selfish reasons because I get something out of it. But also, like,
your wife for a little bit.
Yeah. But I also got like a text yesterday from a kid who went undefeated this year as a freshman. He was like my first 3-time league champion, and he said to me, he's like, Coach, I didn't get to thank you. It means so much to have you cheer me on. You know, you made me who I am today. And thanks for cover it. I just know that when I'm in high school, you'll always be my favorite coach and my second dad. Like, because this
that's
kid.
That's amazing. Adam, that's really amazing, man. Seriously. Yeah,
I'm not even sure I should even read it on this podcast. But it meant so much. It meant like, yeah. I mean, like, I was like crying in therapy today talking about it.
That's why you do it. You know what I mean? That's amazing.
So, I watched the match. A bunch of the high school kids won, and they came in second in the league. They would have won. But they had to give away 4 forfeits because of COVID, which is like you're giving away 24 points, which is crazy. We had one kid though. It was like when I was coaching, we had one kid who I remember we had a match and we were like 2 months into the season. And Connor Hewn was my other coach. Me and Connor were coaching, and this kid shows up and he's like, "I'm here for the match," and I'd never seen this kid before. And I was like, "Does anyone know who this kid is?" And someone's like, "I don't think he goes to our school." And then fucking crazy ass Connor was like, "Well, let him wrestle." I'm like, "No, I can't let him." And then another kid went to a match and he had like just joined like 2 weeks late. He was a heavyweight, half black kid, just a big or kind of tough kid. So he gets in there and he went to one practice and the match started and he starts going like this, like squaring up, but like Nick Diaz fighting. And the ref looks at me like, "This is what you're teaching these." And I'm like, "You can't hit him. You can't hit him." And like, the ref's like, shouldn't that have been already established? You know, like, anyway, enough about me. We'll go back into this because I have more stories. We have a guy from Wales. This dude is 10-1. And the fight he lost, I watched it again last night. You could argue that he won that fight. It was a very, very close fight. This dude's a black belt in judo, in jiu-jitsu, and in taekwondo.
Kickboxing. They had it wrong. Kickboxing, yeah.
Black belt in kickboxing. And all three things. He was a two-time Cage Warriors champion, which is the promotion over there, in two different weight classes. Mason Jones, how are you, man?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan, man. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, man. Well, I'm a big fan of yours, dude. I had no idea. And the thing about you, man, is that you was in all kinds of research about you. So you started playing soccer when you were a kid.
Yeah.
But all you wanted to do was fight people. Like, literally.
Yeah, so, like, ridiculously. Like, my dad used to take all of us, really, to the soccer, which was sort of like something he just sort of did with the kids. Like, I'm from a small town. The population now is 5,500 people. So, like, back then, there was, it was probably about 2,000. So there wasn't really much to do. So, like soccer or the UK football was the only thing that was really popular at the time. So he took all of us. And, yeah, he didn't take me for long. He used to say, like, I was just an embarrassment playing soccer. I was just trying to fight everyone. And I was always the same as a kid. Like you said, I was always, like, running around pretending to be, like, the UK, they call them Power Rangers. I don't know if you're out in the US.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, yeah, the cartoons, like, trying to fight everyone, or I want to be a pirate or a ninja, or I want to stab someone or fight someone, or an army guy. It was just always something to do with fighting, they said, so.
I did the same thing. I played soccer. I was terrible. I led the league in, like, yellow cards. All I wanted to do was just tackle people. And I had the whole team yelling Rumble, like, before the game. Like, we were the worst team in the fucking league. We never won a game. But this isn't about me. This is about you. Your last fight, I'm gonna jump around because I have no organization. But your last fight, that kid that you fought was throwing some crazy combinations, like wild gang punches, and it must have been hard for you in the first round, because I guess his whole MO was he gassed in the first. But he was throwing punches from all different angles. Was it hard to find a guy to train with that was going to replicate what he was going to do?
Now, to be fair, we didn't really worry about what he was going to throw too much. I think I had one spinning elbow. Cruz said when I watched it back, I had it like a cookie. But it was just like I did the kickboxing as a kid. We're used to people covering distance quite quickly. Like, because obviously the points style kickboxing, that's what they do. They blitz a lot and they throw a lot of wild stuff. And like, I grew up training with people like that. So the main thing was to deal with like long range strikers who was going to throw a lot of crazy stuff. And like, for me, the main thing was just to sort of not to rush the finish, because it's so easy to get involved and sort of to push that finish too soon. And like, the whole point of this fight was just to get our win. It was like, we spoke about it before, and they said, look, don't try, like you did in the Mike fight, don't try and get a big finish. Don't worry about sort of performance bonuses or anything. My coach said, just focus on getting that win. So we kept everything nice, calm, and composed. And I stayed that way in the first two rounds. The first round especially, I took big shots, and I caught him. Like, I caught him with a knee that split the eye early on. I caught him with a big right hand, and the uppercut just missed, but that glanced him enough. But after I split his eye, every shot I hit him with, I could literally see him tremble. And like, every time, like, I hit him with a big hand, I could see that he just didn't want it. And after the end of that first, I knew I broke him. But I just didn't want to go in rushing into anything and get hit with something spinning. obviously, he blacked my eye a little bit with a spinning elbow. And I had a big bruise on my head. And that was from literally where I switched the double, right near the cage, and sort of drove him down in the floor, because I wanted to make sure there was no momentum shift. I like drove him straight in the floor and literally just drove head first into the cage and hit the bottom of the cage. Because I remember going back at the end of the first round, going back to my corner, and I kept saying, my corner, is my head bleeding? I was like, I'm sure my head's bleeding. And they were like, no, your head's not bleeding. Shut up, sit down and just listen. So yeah, it was a fight I enjoyed while it lasted, but it's a fight that, like, even looking back, there's a lot of things I did that I really should have done better. Like the end of the first round when he started to stand back up, like, fingers in the cage or not, I should have literally mat returned him quicker. Like, even if I give it exert a bit, if I mat returned him a bit quicker and sort of piled on the pressure, or even if I'd sort of just literally taken the back, rocked him down and just put a hook in or two and pressured forwards. like 10 seconds or so to go, I could have probably finished. And in that second round, like, as a, obviously a wrestling coach yourself, you know, if someone's down, they should be getting back up. Like, fingers in the cage or not, they should be getting back their feet. So the whole reason that eye poke happened was because I took him down and I let him get back to his feet. Like, if I'd stayed in control and I'd stopped him getting up, then he would have been over in the second. So yeah, I mean, loads to work on.
And that's the thing, when you eye poked him, which was obviously unintentional, it seemed like he wanted out. He knew he was losing. Now he wants to run it back. Do you want to run this fight back or no?
Mate, to be fair, it wouldn't bother me too much if he randomly died at the moment. I really can't deal with even thinking about him at the moment. Like, not even the money taken off me. He's taken my foundation away, because like, this was going to be a win to secure my foundation. So obviously, I fought Mike Davis. I did perform well. And even though it was a fight of the night, for me, it was a bad performance on my behalf. Like, obviously, you've seen more of how I fight. I'm composed. I'm cool. And I use my feet a lot in the Mike Davis fight. All I did was put my head down and brawl. I mean, it was just sort of street rules. And Mike did really well in that fight. Like, no matter how I look back on it, like, I had Mike winning that fight. I know it was a close fight, and like, the stats of this now that I had Mike winning that fight. Like, I didn't perform. And leading up to this fight, when I was asked about that fight in interviews, I always quoted Derek Lewis. So when Derek Lewis fought Stefan Struve, he said after the fight, it doesn't matter, obviously paraphrasing, it doesn't matter if you perform 10% your ability or you perform at 100%, all that matters is winning. And in the Mike Davis fight, I didn't do enough to win. This fight, obviously, I did do enough to win. The first round was 10-8, and the second round was looking like it was either going to be finished or it was going to be another 10-8 round. And like, performance aside, that would have, just a solid win would have really secured my foundations in the UFC. And like, I understand it's still a good performance, but I'm on a loss and in a no contest, it doesn't look good.
First of all, you got fight of the night, and Sean Shelby, they're not idiots. They know you won that fight. So yeah. I honestly wouldn't be too hard about that. I understand you're a perfectionist and you're 25 and you probably fucked one chick your whole life. But I'm telling you, okay? Be happy, not be happy, be content, but be satisfied. You kicked ass in that fight. You did.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm Welsh, man. We've done some wild shit. Like, I had a good childhood. Do you know what I mean? Like, even as a youth, I've done some damage. But yeah, no, I appreciate it. And to be fair, the amount of overwhelming messages I've had of support, and usually when I fight, like, there's a lot of negative messages as well. Like, always, same as everyone gets, there's always a lot of crap mixed in. But so far with it all, I only seen one sort of tweet or message that was targeted me. All the rest has been really positive. So, like I said, I think people sort of seen what was happening in there and they realized, because like, whether it's an excuse or not, like, when I caught him with my finger, I backed up quite a lot straight away because I knew I caught him, and like, I knew he was going to look for a way out, and I sort of panicked a little bit where I should have probably just piled into him before the ref had seen. Which it isn't the type of person I am. Like, I just wanted to win. I wanted to get a solid win.
Well, don't read the messages. You're too good for the messages, by the way. Don't read the messages.
I always got to read the messages.
You're a different level, man. You're a different level. Bill, you're from Wales. You want to talk about some Wales stuff?
Well, I got my 23andMe, and I'm like 34% Welsh.
Oh, wow. Hey. But
do you identify – what do you think – Scottish versus Irish? What do you feel most – as, and which country do you most identify with? Because Wales is like an island, and you got to be, the identity in Wales is pretty, like, you know, who do you identify with? Who are your heroes?
So with the whole thing in the UK, I always just explain it as, it's the same as sort of asking Americans and Canadians the differences between them. Like, we all want to be like completely separate. So like, the Irish got their thing, the Scottish got theirs, and the Welsh got theirs. But the Irish are fighting people the same as we are. If we had to be anything, we'd say close to the Irish. Like, back in the day, they sort of followed the same sort of pagan religions and stuff, and they had the same sort of mentality as us, which was, we just fight everyone and don't really care about it. Like, that was the way it was when we was all tribes and stuff. But yeah, Wales is wild. Like I said, I'm from a small town, right at the top of the mountains in Wales. Like, all we've really got is sheep and a lot of rain. So
yeah,
I, growing up, like my grandparents, they used to work in mines, and then if they were mining, they were either playing rugby or they were bare knuckle. That was the sort of the two things they did. They were either scrapping or they were playing rugby or doing both. Obviously, rugby is basically NFL without the pads, and they're slightly smaller, I think.
Yeah, no, that's dude, you're a badass, bro. Now, I read that that what's crazy about you is, like, a lot of times people come from nothing, they're looking for a way out, they become a fighter. But your dad is like a huge investor. You come from a lot of money.
Not a lot of money. I do come from a bit of money, but then like for Wales, I'm probably about middle class. But like the main thing on that is my dad's got his own big company that like my older brother works for. My youngest brother sort of works from as well. And my sister works from. So for me, the easiest thing would have been to get a trade and slowly start working for the company. But I just always wanted to fight. That's all I've really wanted to do. I was either join the military or fight, and I'm colorblind, so the military was out from an early age. So we was like, look, I just want to fight, and it's something I really pushed towards. And my father's big on that. He would never pay my way. So this is the thing a lot of people get confused with. Like, they've seen a lot of things I did and I've sort of done, and like training camps I've done and things I've sort of done. But everything's sort of been off my own back. Like, my dad's always pushed into me that, like, if you don't have enough money, you need to find a way to make money. He said, like, people who sort of just reach for handouts all the time, they won't ever make it. And like, coming through the judo career, the path I did, and seeing, like, the Azerbaijans, the Kazis, the Russians, and the way they grind for things, like, is 100%. There's no such thing as being able to take handouts and sort of being given a place. So you have to earn every inch. And like, watch my fights. You'll see. Like, I'll happily push until there's nothing left. Like, I fought, broke my hand, and I pushed through. And you won't even know I've done that.
You know, I used to think that, like, that you kind of can't teach heart. You know, it's almost like you have it or you don't. But also, I think with fighting, it doesn't matter if you're Kenny Florian, you come from like a background investment banking, or if you're like the Black Beast, you seem like you came from a rough area. Either you're like, either you have it in you or you don't. And
BJ Penn was for money too, right?
BJ Penn, yeah. I think it's just something about that person. Obviously, sometimes it helps when, like, I hate to say it, but like, tragedy happens and you need an outlet. You know, like there was a kid that I was coaching whose mother passed away from cancer, and the father pulled him out of wrestling in high school. And he's like, his father didn't like wrestling, the mom did. And I it's not my place to call the father and tell him this, but I'm like, dude, that's the one place you want to keep him, is in wrestling or in that kind of a martial art. Because all this anger and angst and shit that's going on in him, he's going to have an outlet for it, and an outlet that you can't really explain. You know, you can't really explain judo and jujitsu and wrestling and just sparring, because all this stuff's going through you that you can't really buy. It's just something that you just have to experience.
Mate, I'm for one, like, I really do believe, and like, the way I grew up, like I said, like, I grew up in a decent family. Like, my parents are really good parents from what I know. Like, they raised me right. I've got good manners, and I've lived, do you know what I mean? I've done some wild stuff, but we all sort of, we've walked a straight line. Like, none of my family are in prison. We've all done well so far. We've gone well. So, like, I think we've been raised right. But for me, like, fighting, if I didn't have a whole route to sort of exert myself, I would have definitely been in prison by now. And that's not saying, like I said, I'm from a middle-class family, but like, the sort of anger that I dealt with as a kid, and like, my parents literally, they've said from the age I could toddle, I was terrible. Like, I had a stupid temper. They said they'd struggle to calm me. Like, I was nothing like my brothers. I was always the same. Like, my older brother, I remember, my mother used to tell me that, like, when we was kids, they used to call me Houdini, because they put me in, like, they got like childproof car seats and different things to sort of keep me in the chair while we drive. And they reckon I could get out of anything. I could get out of any crib. I could get out of any car thing. I'd climb the walls to get over things. I'd do the adult, you know, the childproof buckles on.
Yeah,
I could open everything and get out. And she said, every 2 minutes, I'd get out. My brother would start to say, my older brother, look, he's escaping again. And then I jump on him and start biting him. They're at the toddler. So Like, I was just an angry kid. And for me, like, I'm the calmest person you'll ever meet. Like, the amount of people I've met who, what was said, like, they don't understand or they can see a kid like me fighting. And it's because, like, I always add that way to exert, that always way to sort of get rid of, like, the savage nature that all humans have. And I think it's a big thing. Like, if a lot of people went into these sort of combat sports a lot more, then I do think like a lot of things would be a bit avoided, because it, like you said, it's an easy way to overcome emotion. Like when my nan died, I stayed in the gym, I trained through it, and it helped massively. When relatives and different things, and we've had problems and different things come along, like my happy place is always be in the gym. Like, I'm a completely different person after I train. And like, for me, running or S&C or like sports, none of it really did the same as getting into a war with someone or hitting pads and really sort of exerting that. That is the way I sort of release.
That's awesome.
And so what about, did you start judo first? Was judo your foray into martial arts? Or is it
kickboxing? Kickboxing. So I started kickboxing at 7. So like I said, small town. So the only thing that was near was a kickboxing gym. And then I started with that. It was like early, it was the early version of MMA. So the gym I trained at, Joseph Duffy used to train there. So Joseph Duffy was a lightweight in the UFC. He's since retired. Jack Marshman started in the same gym. He was in the UFC. Jack Shaw, Richard Shaw. And a few others who sort of made different Bellator cards.
The other guy from Wales that made the
Brett.
Yeah, Brett John.
Brett's from Swansea. That's like the dark side of Wales. We just let Brett slip over there. But Brett, actually, I trained with Brett in my judo team. So Brett's dad's a judo coach, Birdie. So I met Birdie and I met Brett when I was really young. So I started judo when I was 11, and I bumped into them around 12, 13. Brett was leaving the Welsh squad when I was really starting to come through. So before I went on the British.
Now, you went to Team Alpha Male, right?
Yeah, my sixth trip out.
Now, what's that like? Because I've been a Team Alpha Male. I'm part of those guys. That's a funny team. It's a bunch little fucking maniacs who can kill.
So there's a lot of big guys there now, actually. Obviously, you've got Cody. Chad's sort of like retired. You don't really see Chad too much. Josh is recovering from an injury, Emmett. Feely's a feather, Elegance is a feather. But then, like, there's a lot of guys there now who are actually quite big. So, like, Max Griffin trains there. He's a welder. You've got Chris Gonzalez, who's a mate. If you haven't checked him out yet, he actually does my head in because his social media is so bad. Like, he doesn't do any social media work himself. But he's on a tear through Bellator. He's like D1 level wrestling. Sage is still sort of... he's recovering from a few different things, and I think COVID sort of hit him hard. So I didn't see Sage this time. But that guy's a freak. Sage isn't human. He's too nice. There's no way he's a human being. Yeah. Like, Sage is just, like, when I first met him the first couple of times, like, me and my coach was like, look, there's no way he's that nice in person. Like, he's like a serial killer. There's no way he can be it. But he is genuinely, like, such a nice person. And he's just, like, God-orientated and a Texan through and through, and just a nice person. But yeah, like I said, there's a lot of bigger guys there now. There's another welterweight who used to fight in the UFC, whose name I'm terrible with.
Castillo. He's the coach, right?
Castillo, yeah. I did some really good wrestling with Castillo this time.
And then Chris Holdsworth, right? He's the coach.
Holdsworth. Slava. So Slava's a Russian kickboxer who's like a world champion kickboxer. There's a Brazilian as well who trains with Ricardo Ramos, who's he's on the American cards. He's a good Thai fighter, and he's a feather. And then there's some of the guys from CSA who compete at Bellator who come over to train. So, like,
how do those guys warm up?
Big guy, this,
like, when you went over there, how did they warm up to you? Was there like, do you have to prove yourself? Was there a chip on your shoulder?
So the first time I went there, none of them would really train with me. They're not like ATT and different gyms like that, where they split the sessions. Like, the sessions are open, but a lot of, like, the UFC guys, the Bellator guys, they're really picky with who they train with, as you'd imagine. So it took me a little bit, but I just sort of kept talking to them and all, and sort of training with a few of them. And gradually, like, after my second or third trip, they really opened up. They realized I was there.
That's
just
bullshit. I mean, you're going over there, you're a UFC guy, you're a black belt in three different art forms, and they know that wrestling is the one thing that you don't have as good as the other things, right?
So the first time I went over there, I was 23 or 22. So I hadn't made the UFC yet. I was still on the Cage Warriors. I'd had like three or four fights in, three fights in, I think it was. And like, to be fair, none of them really asked about the judo. I didn't have my BJJ black belt at the time. And none of them really asked about the judo. They just asked about the wrestling. And like, I was like, look, my wrestling's not that good. I've got a judo background. And they were like, oh yeah, cool. They didn't really rate the judo I had. But my wrestling was decent. Like, obviously my basics were really poor, but the sort of advanced stuff they were teaching was just stuff I did with judo. So that was the hardest part for me, because obviously the wrestling sessions they do, they wouldn't show just basic stuff. And my basics were really my weak point. Like my judo coach back home, who still corners me now, his sub only stuff and his judo is unreal. But it was just sort of just like the head, arms, hands, hips stuff, you know, just really basic, like just making sure you match the levels. And that stuff I've done with Danny Castillo more than anything, which you've really seen in this fight. Like, I made sure that anytime he come in, I made sure that one, my head was in his face, two, my hips were lower than his, and three, that I made sure that I dug for that underhook and I made sure I killed his underhook. And then obviously you've seen the Ochi Gary, the inner trip I did the second round to get him down. Like, that's my judo background, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that is my bread and butter. So for me, yeah, hitting some of that was pretty much.
That's the hardest part for people, because like, I coach middle school wrestling, and he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, but he's like, dude, you helped me so much, because people jump into wrestling classes and they're learning like, you know, two-on-one Russians, but they're not learning single legs.
Well, that was not learning. That was the thing, like the two-on-one Russian stuff I done in judo. Like that my coach, my judo coach had a Russian coach, Val. So we learned more Russian style than anything else. So like we was doing loads of Uranagi stuff, which is like suplex work, Russian two-on-ones, breakdown stuff to the deep to the belt, like Owashi stuff, like all lifts and stuff from body wrestling. So I learned more Greco than anything else.
Yeah.
So like traditional like wrestling, which is just traditional like blast doubles and singles and stuff. Like the only sort of stuff I done with that was from a grappling coach I had when I was a kid, who taught freestyle in the UK. And freestyle in the UK is literally the difference between blood and piss, basically. Do you know what I mean? It's completely yeah. different things.
Yeah. Well, that's really leg? Cool. What was that, Bill?
Mace, you ever go for a double leg? Like a stare?
Yeah. So I used to do a lot of doubles, but like back in the day, I did some damage to my shoulder. So I prefer singles a lot more now.
Got it. Now, but when you're going live, though, when you go there, right, and everyone's like, oh, who the fuck's this judo guy with the stupid accent, right? But then you're going live, are you just throwing your eye of favor on his head? And then are people at the gym like, whoa, like, are they, like, is everyone stopping and then looking at you? Is that kind of
the general? Uriah sort of, he teaches more than anything else now. Like, he'll mix in for a bit, but he mainly mixes in for BJJ. And like, that guy is ridiculously hard to come close to in jiu-jitsu, because he's so like, he's a power dwarf. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's small, compact, and he just explodes everywhere. And he's just so aggressive at what he does. Like, if you ever see him teach, he is the most, like, he's so aggressive. It's the wrestling style. Do you know what I mean? Like, the way he shows everything is just sort of like, it's a lot of power and a lot of explosiveness. Same as Danny Castillo teaches. But like, more than anything else, he was sort of like, I trained with a lot of the good wrestlers, or the guys who were sort of, who were there, who was like legit wrestlers, and a lot of them struggled to take me down. And it was just like, the judo stuff, I'm quite good at basing on my legs, and I'm quite good at getting back to my feet. So for me, like, that was the main thing. It was just sort of like I love striking, and I've got good wrestling defense. It was working more my offense wrestling, most of them. But after my first trip there, like I said, they were sound, and we really started getting a mix. And a lot of the boys have helped so much. Like this camp, I trained a lot with Chris Gonzalez for it, and like, he's a longer lightweight with good wrestling. And like, all I said to him was, look, I'm going to come at you with as many strikes and try and control the distance. Just keep taking me down, and I'll try and get back on my feet. And that's what we did for the camp.
That's great.
I think I stopped him taking me down like twice in the entire in about seven sparring exchanges that he did a proper entry. But do you mean we improved every time? And like, I really don't mind being the anvil, as long as I get conditioned in the end and I'm improving. So
now, what happens with the hot girls at the alpha male? Like, Paige VanZant goes there, she dates Cody, and then she dates Andre Feely, I think, and then she ends up marrying Austin, right? And then Cynthia Cavillo was there. And then she left. Sarah McMahon was there, and she took off. What's going on there? What? talk to me about this.
Mate, they're women fighters. Like, don't get me wrong. My girlfriend's a woman fighter. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's Olympic taekwondo. She's done a lot in her career so far. She's had a little bit of an injury break for, like, this is her second year now, where she's starting to come back. But, like, she's a woman fighter. Like, they're all absolutely batshit insane. And I've had this conversation with Chris, because the better looking women fighters are, the crazier they are. Because, like, obviously, I know they're always that. The better looking girls are always the craziest scale. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. With fighters, even more. Because, like Paige. Paige is a stunning girl. So how crazy she has to be to actually fight and put it on the line. Do you know what I mean?
Bare knuckle.
You know she's next. Do you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. Now, but, like, you guys should make them sign a contract saying they have to stay there. Because they go there, and then they all leave. Like, I'm like, what's going on at Alpha Male? Is that
That's Uriah as well, though. Uriah's chill. Because, like, obviously with me, I train there a lot. It's like I said, it's my sixth time I've been out there. And I'm going to try and make sure that my roving camp, so I do my camps there a lot more, just because the sparring and different things. And like, Uriah's never tried to tie me down with a contract. He's never tried to sort of talk to me about money. Like, this time I spoke to him, he said, look, he said, you're part of the team. He said, fight out of wherever you want. He said, and, like, we'll cut you team fees. So he really sorts me out. And, like whenever I've got stuck with different things, like, especially when I was coming through and I was short of money, different things, if I was ever stuck with money that I needed an emergency, which happened, which I'll tell him about in a minute, he's literally just turned around and been like, look, here's the money, like, just sort it out and we'll sort it in a minute.
That's awesome. Now, who's your girlfriend?
Madison Davis.
Now, she's a Taekwondo champion?
Olympic Taekwondo, yeah. So she medaled Olympic qualifiers and she medaled the Commonwealth Games. She was part of Team GB, Olympic team. And like I said, she's been out, like, this is her second year out now, so she's still recovering.
Is she going to do MMA?
Yeah. She. I don't know about the MMA. I know she's going back to Taekwondo. Like, she's just turned 22 on Saturday, so she's just coming back. But I don't know. We'll see. Like, I'm happy for her to do MMA, but it's all up to her.
John Dodson just joined us. You made a face at her being 22. Is that too young? He's only 25. This kid.
No. I didn't make a face about that. I was making a face. So I'm trying to make sure I can pop up my phone.
Oh,
so I can
okay.
Talk. Oh, what the hell? There he goes. Yeah, I'm using scissors and a candle.
Now, John, have you met Mason Jones before?
No.
Hey, John, I'm a big fan. Big fan, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I love the fact that you still think I'm amazing.
So Mason is 10-1. He was a 2-time Cage Warriors champion. He's now 1-1 in the UFC. I'm calling that a win. I don't care. He's also a black belt.
I got DQ'd, John. I got DQ'd.
For what? Tickling somebody? DQ'd. Yeah, I know, but what'd you do? Did you tickle him?
Eye poke it was, yeah. Second round eye poke.
Yeah, he was winning, though. It seemed like this guy against Alan Patrick. Seemed like the guy wanted out of the fight. Like, he was
okay.
You know, and the guy was, you know.
Well, there's a lot of fakers in, like, at the 135 division. I mean, I'm just saying. In the UFC, there's a lot of actors right now.
So, by the way, so John Dodson is one of my favorite fighters ever. You're a guy, you won the Ultimate Fighter, you kick ass, you got a fight coming up. You got a fight coming up. Talk to me. Who are you fighting? Where? When? How can I watch it? Talk to me.
I'm fighting out in South Carolina on a show called XMMA. They brought me in to fight Cody Gibson, so I'm, like, super ecstatic about it because of the fact that I get to go punch somebody in the face. Like, I've been trying to go ahead and fight, like, Horiguchi for a minute, and I was like, hell yeah, let's go ahead and do this, and then that never happened because, well, Japan just doesn't like Americans just yet. They think our coronavirus is a little bit too serious over here, so they're pushing the fight back. But we'll see how it goes, and in the future, I'm going to go ahead and beat up somebody.
Good. Now, how's your weight? Because sometimes you would get up to, like, 190, 200 pounds.
No, I get up to, like, a good 168, 170-ish. Yeah. Me splurging on a whole lot of pizza and, you know, I got a real front turtle shell all the time.
But now you're good? Are you being smart about it?
Yeah, I'm being smart about it. I'm on my way. I'm making sure I can stay on task. I haven't broke 152 pounds. So I'm like, all right, that's going to be awesome. I can stay at this weight class. I can go ahead and maintain it. I want to stay pretty much physically strong and be dominant throughout all this. And then I'm just going to punish this dude. Like, he's a tall guy. He fought Bedford last time, or it was one of his fights that he had. So we have a mutual opponent in common.
Now, he was the guy, by the way, real nice guy. He's a school teacher now. He won last 4 to 5. He was when I was in a bar fight that said, "Google me, bitch," to the guy in a bar fight. Yeah, yeah. It was all over TMZ a couple years ago. And he actually lost the bar fight. Well, he basically let some guy, he let some guy punch him in the face. Yes, let some guy punch him in the face. And then he told the guy, "I'm in the UFC." And the guy's like, "No, you're not." And he goes, "Google me, bitch." The guy cracked in the face. And then he came back and then low singled him and then beat him up. But it was like he almost got fired from being a school teacher for that. He's a really good dude. He happens to be a really good dude. But you could actually
Google not him. If he's sitting there telling people to Google him. Like, "Google me, bitch. Get some of this. You know who I am?"
You know, it was a bad night. He had a bad night. Now, how are the kids? You have two daughters now?
I got two daughters, and my son is 9.
Son is 9.
And he just got his first cell phone, and he doesn't know how to text people back because he thinks that it's only used to play video games, and I solely blame that on myself.
Of course. and by the way, I think that you getting cut from the UFC was total bullshit. You only fought the best guys. And
Nathaniel Wood was the last fight they seen at John's. Wood. That was his last win. Yeah, I remember that was the fight I watched because obviously I know Nathaniel through Cage Warriors, and mate, that was a good performance. You look good.
Thanks. Hell yeah. So I thought when I got to fight Nathaniel Woods, I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to go ahead and start thinking about dropping back down to weight. I'm going to go fight at flyweight. Like, I've only lost twice at flyweight, and I was like, this would be a better run for me to go ahead and start making go for a title shot back that way. And then Ray Borg didn't go ahead and fight Marbib. Like, hey, we need somebody to fight Marbib. Do you think they should be able to do it? I was like, cool. Just as long as I'm allowed to go back down to flyweight, I'm going to go ahead and go make another title run on it. Like, I know I can be the champion. They're like, all right, okay, cool. We'll see. I was like, all right, whatever. Fought Marbib, and I just kept on focusing on that dude's wrestling ability, and it stunned me. And I was like, oh, I literally got frozen up because I was worried about getting taken down so much that I didn't throw my hands.
All right. You were a two-time state champion wrestler in high school.
Yeah, but this dude was setting records, though. I mean, how many times have you really seen me take anyone down?
That's my fucking point, okay? It does seem like you got a little bit too – you love knocking everyone out, and you kind of started becoming a little bit just like heavy-handed in some of these fights. Am I right?
Well, not exactly. So what I did is like – when I first started, I would always go wrestle and jiu-jitsu only. I have like my first 5 MMA fights, I have nothing but submission wins.
Yeah,
I would take people down, ground them out, and just start subbing them. And then my first loss is because I had full mounts of some people, had their backs, had side control, had pretty much a dominant jiu-jitsu game, and I lost for a fight in Colorado, Canada, Japan. All those fights I just lost because I was out grappling them, but they didn't count my grappling ability as dominating when I had the total round. Like, when I had total control of the round was 13 minutes.
Fuck.
And it's kind of weird to lose a fight like that.
Yeah.
So I just stopped and then negated that, and I went straight to striking. And then they're like, hey, you need to start mixing in the jiu-jitsu and everything. I was like, okay, I can, but if I'm not getting hit, what's the point of actually going to somewhere else?
Isn't there a happy medium that you could find, though?
There was no happy medium. There was like, I can go ahead and take people down, but if I'm not worried about getting hit, getting touched, then there's no point.
But you get punched.
To be fair as well, you've got some of the fastest hands I've seen at Bantam. Like, the volume output you put out has always been ridiculous. Like, it's always been ridiculous. The amount of volume you just sort of managed to put out in striking is just ridiculously fast.
Man, thank you. Shoot, I'm going to be – right now, you're going to make me watch you all the time now. You hyping me up like this. I'm like, fuck yeah, you got a new fan. Let's go.
Now, one of my favorite fights was when you knocked out TJ Dillashaw. That was before TJ became champion. Were you surprised when he got busted for EPO?
No. I wasn't surprised at all.
Why, was he offering it to you on the show?
No, actually, Caraway was telling everybody that he was on it on the show.
Oh, Caraway was?
Yeah. Caraway was sitting there saying that he was on some other stuff. I was like, if he was, he'd be a lot bigger.
Wow.
Can you usually tell when people are on stuff? Something that's obvious to another fighter, you're like, this guy's fucking juicing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Yeah, because they have like every that road rage is serious, but at the same time, it's road rage with like anger issues of being a fighter, and they just explode. So it's like 1,000 times what you would expect like a lifter to have, but then they're like, just want to fight everybody. Anything can set them off. You can be like, hey, man, you look good today. What the fuck did you say to me, bitch? I just said I liked your hair. What the fuck is wrong with my hair? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
Did you get possessed by somebody?
Got it. Now you started your own camp in Albuquerque, but for little people, is it like a mini camp?
It is like a mini camp because, like, you know, I took the ideas of TAM and I made it just be like Jam, and it's like not like Team Alpha Male. It's just like John Elite Midgets.
No, isn't that what happened though? I'm not kidding. Didn't you kind of do that? Didn't you start like a Legoland about like, was that like
Legoland?
Is that what happened?
No.
Oh.
I was like, I was running with what you said. I was like,
no, I thought you did you start your own version of Jackson that you headed it over in like a different part of New Mexico or something for?
No. No, I really train at my house. I have like a little like shed. Okay. And it's like a big old garage. And we sit there and I just set up mats in there and I have a bunch of people that come in through. And like, we get a lot of our technical training here and then I just spar with everyone at the gym.
So wait, so you're not at Jackson Wink anymore?
Yeah, I'm at Jackson Wink, Jackson Acoma, BMF Ranch, wherever I like to go ahead and hang out and just be okay. Around other people being stuck in my house.
So what happened with Sanchez and his and that guy?
I have no idea.
But you saw the whole thing, right?
I saw him being a douche. Like, Diego, like, anytime Diego was around me and he had that dude, Diego wasn't allowed to talk. Like, that guy was his voice for everything. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I tried to have a conversation with Diego. I'd be like, hey, D, how you been? And he'd be like, hey, attention's over here. Cool. Why are you controlling his voice? Like, that's kind of awkward. Did you become a trail quiz? I'd be like, and every time it would just be going through, and I was like, yo, man, like, I want to talk to Diego. He said, well, you can't talk to him right now. So,
oh, my God.
I've known him since 2002. I think I can go ahead and talk to the man without you telling me I'm not allowed to because I don't think you're his dad.
Right, of course. So, now, I'm good friends with Isaac Valley Flag. We know that for a while he was doing meth and almost robbed a bank and was caught with, like, shotguns. Now he's okay. He's like, sober. He's doing great. But were you around for all that?
With Isaac?
Yeah.
I was, but I didn't know it was that bad. Because Isaac was like, hey, you want to go train? I was like, yeah, let's go. And he was just my level of happiness. So I was like, oh, hell yeah. He must be eating a lot of sugar. Or drinking a lot of Rockstars.
So, I mean, you weren't surprised. I mean, were you surprised when it came out in the news that he was with a shotgun and meth?
I was surprised that he had the meth. Absolutely. But the shotgun, I mean, I got one in my car. Like, I'm not going to be hot. I got that and some knives. I'm like, hell no. Nah. Somebody's going to try to carjack me. They're going to have their life.
Well, they're not going to know you're in the car, right? They're just going to.
Well, no, because they're going to. Yeah, they're literally going to sit on top of me, and then I'm going to stab them with a knife. I'm like, why'd you sit on me? Like, boom.
Of course. Yeah, now were you in the gym when John Jones was underneath the cage hiding from USADA?
Oh, fucking hell. I have no comments on that one.
You were there? You were there, really?
Yeah. Bro, I taught at the gym from 4 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night.
So you were there the whole time. So the USADA comes, and then John Jones says to you, hey, I'm going to be under there. And does he point under the gym? And do you, like, distract him?
And, like, hell no. So what happened for that? Like, I literally decided to take a nap. And I was like, cool, I'm going to go to the office. I'm passing out. I've been here since 4 o'clock this morning. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, hey, man, you seen John? I was like, me? They're like, no, not you. John. I was like, motherfucker, y'all keep on saying that. I just woke up. You guys just woke me up from a nap. I'm right here. They're like, no, Big John. Like, have you seen him? I was like, I haven't seen him. And I was like walking around. I was like, man,
Big John.
It's like, if Bones is here, man. Like, what the hell's wrong with you guys? Like, did he show up? They're like, no. And they're like, John, yeah. I was like, what? Like, yeah, Bones isn't here. I was like, all right, cool. So I'll go back to sleep. Told that you said I got to go leave. And then, like, literally 5 minutes later, I hear, is he gone? I was like, what?
God?
I'm looking up and everyone's like, nah. I was like, you've been under this whole time. Why didn't you just go through? Like, somebody could have like peed. Like, you could have just peed. I was like, nah. I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm pretending like I'm going to deny everything. So I just went back to the gym, back to my office, fell asleep. I was like, nope. I'm pretending this is a bad
thing. Pretend it didn't happen. Like,
yeah, I was like, I'm pretending this didn't happen.
Sorry to interrupt. I do have to go. It's 10 to 9. I need to cook. So I do apologize.
Yeah, take care, man.
I'm still in the UK.
Yeah, I know. I was like, who's counting? All right, man. You have a
good one. See you soon. Nice meeting you all. Cheers, bros. Bye. Thank you.
Cheers,
bye. That is the funniest story. That, like, all of a sudden you hear a voice from underneath the cage. Because I heard you were living there before there. Like, that
I wasn't living at the gym. Technically, like, I was there. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was living there at the gym because of the fact that I didn't leave ever. Like, I was trapped. They're like, right. John, you got a 4 o'clock class. I was like, okay, how many people is it? Am I teaching two? I was like, I'm waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to teach two people. I was like, okay, I'll be here.
Now, when Cerrone said that anyone could just walk into the gym and train with Holly Holm off the street that and, like, roll with her, like, that wasn't true, right? Because I feel like if there would be a line of people ready to roll with Holly Holm, if that was the case, there'd be, like, you know, 4,000 people outside the gym.
So when he wasn't wrong, but it was, like, still, like, the cowboy version of it. Like, if you paid the gym membership and you can go ahead and pretend like you had some actual type of credentials, because they weren't really checking, it wasn't like how Ricky Cotton said he was when he was running the gym when it was just Jackson's. Like, Ricky would go out, make sure he would, like, select certain people they had the record of and they had a certain amount of fights at the gym, the credibility to actually give our guys, like, competition.
Right.
Then that was the case. But now anybody's like, hey, I want to come train at the gym. And they start piling in, like, hey, okay, cool. And so we only had pro classes. So we had a heavyweight class and lightweight class, and anybody that was coming into lightweight class, they would go with whoever. So they'd be like, all right, cool. Hey, is your first day here? Okay, cool. We'll train, and then we'll just be training with some random dude that's never had any experience with games. Like, and I was like, oh my God, why are you even in this class? Like, oh, I just paid my membership, and I just thought it would be cool to, I was like, no. Go sit your ass down. I'd get so mad. I'd be like, go sit down. No, you see where those benches are? Park it over there, take notes, and then you can learn later. Well, I was like, technique classes tonight. Go take that class.
Yeah. Of course. Now, I mean, because that's how you're going to get hurt. If some fucking guy's going to show up and, you know, not know what he's doing and then kick you in the ball, whatever, you're going to fucking pull an ACL or something.
I get kicked in balls every day. Let's be realistic here.
Of course.
I don't just get kicked in all my fights. I get kicked in the gym too. And their excuse
is, you always do get kicked in the balls in every one of your fights.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true. Now, Clay Guida, I heard everybody beats him at the gym. Like, everyone from, like, the 105s to the heavyweights. But in the fights, he beats everybody.
Here's my thing on that. Because I think Clay is actively, like, trying out new things. That he's like, all right, I'm going to try this out. And then it doesn't work. And then he goes, okay, cool. And then everyone's like, man, like, I fucked up Clay. And then all of a sudden, they're like, man, like, maybe he's not going to win this fight. And then he goes out and just demolishes the dude. And I'm like, where was that? Clay's always, his main thing is like, oh, I wanted to try this new thing. And I'm just like, you know, I got real excited because, like, they showed me it at practice day and I wanted to work on it today. Like, not yesterday, but today. I was like, oh, is that every time we go?
That's like you as a comic sometimes. You smash the headliner, you do open mics, you fuck around, try new jokes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because, like, you guys are always sitting there creating new things, and you're like, oh, okay, so that one didn't work. Mark that one off the list.
Right. The problem is in L.A., people go around and be like, oh, that guy sucks. I saw him at a fucking Bill's photo fucking hut, whatever. And you're like, yeah, I was working on a whole new, like, yeah, come see me when I headline. Anyway, but Bill, what were you going to say?
Well, I was like, John, man, you have, like, one of the best personalities in fighting, period. Why aren't you doing more TV or stand-up comedy? I mean, fuck Brendan Schaub. You'd be 10 times more than him.
1,000%.
It's because I don't know how to slow down a talk.
Neither do you. Still work?
Yeah, of course.
They're going to be like, oh, man, you're, like, a faster version of, like, Kevin Hart. I was like, what the fuck did you say? Is it because we're just short black people that y'all naturally just assume that we associate together? That's how we congregate? Well, you kind of sound like him. Oh, It's because of the high-pitched voice. I get it because I screech when I yell at you guys, and then I try to go ahead and just rail, like pull it back, and it doesn't work. Because then aggression sets in, and then I want to go ahead and be like a D.L. Hughley and just start bashing the entire audience.
That was my favorite version of D.L., by the way. When he was in the Kings of Comedy, him and Bernie Mac are my two. Bernie Mac is my favorite comic ever, one of them ever. I mean, he was so good. Him and Robin Harris, another very underrated comic. Now, John, you fought Peter Yan. Were you surprised with how much Peter Yan dominated Sterling in that fight before he lost because of the whatever?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't understand how people so like dominated.
What was he saying? Bill, am I frozen? Fuck. Hello? All right, I'm gonna try to get everyone back on.
Do you see me?
You're back. I can see you.
I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you want to be honest with me? You don't understand.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how people are getting like physically dominated by Peter Yan because of the fact that when me and him fought, I was like dog tired. I didn't get no sleep. I was trying to stay up, and I was like, all right, cool. And I was like sleepy time, like. And I did. I dropped him. I did phenomenal. I did all right against him. But at the same time, like, these other dudes are getting their time zone right, and they're all training. Like, he didn't hit that hard. He's not really good at wrestling. And then when Aljo couldn't take this dude down, I was like, I took him down. And then he stopped me from taking him down by grabbing my hair. Because, you know, I had that bushy locks. Yeah. He was controlling me by my hair so I couldn't get no takedown. So I was like, you guys are all, like, better wrestlers and better strikers than me. You guys should be able to go ahead and do these things. Like, I thought Aljo was actually going to be able to piece him up on the feet just enough so where he can go ahead and take him down, and then he never did. And then all of a sudden he got kneed in his face, and he won Oscar.
That was crazy. That was crazy. Who do you like, by the way, TJ versus Sanhagen?
That's going to be a good fight, but I actually got Sanhagen on that. And it's not because of the fact that it's like I don't like TJ. TJ is just having that mentality with it, like all of his training partners, and it's going to be a reflection on him as well too. They all lost their fights. Like Cus Watson ended up losing, Juan Archuleta. I don't know how Dan did on the Ultimate Fighter, but seeing how their pace of how they train, it shows into their performances, and they're probably getting burnt out. And I don't know if TJ's going to be on that same road where he's going to be burnt out of going against Sanhagen and ooh, sorry. Because Sanhagen's camp is actually very smart and seeing how well these guys are doing. So he's going to be able to pick them apart and piece them up from a longer range and distance, especially with TJ's and his no hands protect my face ability, you know, trying to hit that bob and weave thing.
And that what he did to Frankie Edgar was crazy.
Oh, yeah. That flying knee was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was like perfectly timed and it was just beautiful.
Now, Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. What happens in this fight, Dotson?
I mean, I really want Tyron to go ahead and just dust Jake Paul. But there's a reason why this dude picks out the fighters that he picks is because he knows that the ability that he's going into them, he has a sure shot way of winning. And it's going to be that one punch knockout that Tyron's not going to be expecting. Like, we already saw how Tyron backed down from Jake Paul's trainer. I mean, what makes you think that he's going to actually sit there and not that dude's going to have the mentality of pushing him harder to make Jake Paul a more vicious killer than Tyron Woodley? Like, this is going to be a quick boxing match.
Jeremy Love has had 24 fights and it was, I was like 23-1 or 22-2. He's a good fighter, Jaylen Love. I mean, he was.
Yeah, he is. But I'm just saying, like, Tyron didn't want no business with that dude. Like, did you see when he was sitting there talking crap to Jake Paul? Like, man, I'll fuck you. I'll beat you up. Blah, blah, blah. And that Jaylen Love was sitting there talking to him, I'm about that business. I'm about that life. If that was me with some dude barking at my face, I would have choked him. I would put my hand in my throat and just said, get away from me. I ain't talking to you, little boy.
Even with, like, four guys, even when it's just you and the other four other guys, you would have done that?
Oh, yeah. I do that in my normal day life. I don't even care. I get it. I have road rage. Like, people go out and, like, cut me off. I wait patiently, follow behind them, get out of the car where there's a stoplight, walk So I get out of my car, walk to their glass, and like knock on it, be like, "Hey, you realize you just cut me off, and I have my kids in the car. You want to die today? That's all I know." Like you,
John, people have guns where you live.
Yeah, I got one in my car.
I know. You don't need to be, John. You are a fucking star. Okay.
But when they shoot, they're going to miss because it's like shooting over my head. They expect me to be
They probably have bad aim and they'll get you. Okay. So
have you ever almost started a fight, John? Start a fight, recognized you? They're like, "Hey, let's go." They're like, "Oh shit. I know you now."
So no, because like everyone always expects me to be taller, one. And then two, they expected to see a smile, but then they got like this angry smirk on my face. I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna hurt you." And they're like, "What?" And then I have to pull down the mask. I'm like, "Oh, that's you."
All right, so you got announced a couple days ago. Have you heard of the guy on YouTube, the real Hercules? Oh, no, the real Tarzan.
No,
he's like a
there's
black
a guy named the real Tarzan.
Yeah, I guess he's a black guy who's a YouTube star who loves playing with like tigers and lions and snakes, and like his whole thing like he goes by the real Tarzan. This ripped dude. Anyway, he's boxing Vitor Belfort in 2 weeks. It's the real Tarzan versus
the real Tarzan is boxing Vitor Belfort
on Triller in 2 weeks. I don't even know if this guy can box or what his deal is. I know he got arrested for like I think having too many tigers or something. He got into a fight with Carol Baskins or some shit went down. But like we have the real Tarzan is boxing Vitor Belfort.
Bro, I'm an idiot. So I went to grab my phone and I started searching my pockets.
But you're on.
I just zoom off my iPad. I was like, "What the hell?"
The real Tarzan is fighting. Also, this Friday night, along with a great Bellator event and a great Invicta event, but more importantly, Lamar Odom is boxing Aaron Carter with Chuck Liddell as the referee.
No way.
Yes.
Lamar Odom is definitely going to go ahead and beat up Aaron Carter.
So this is going down on Celebrity Boxing. I don't even know how I feel about this.
Wait, what is it on? What's the promotion? Where can you see it?
It's on Celebrity Boxing.
What now?
I think it's a website or something.
I'm going to have to check this out because I'm going to be laughing.
It's on the fight app.
The fight app?
Yeah, it's on the fight app. Okay. Yeah. So there, and then also Peter Guns is boxing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's the guy who sings Uptown Baby. Yeah. Peter Guns.
That's why I was like, why is he fighting?
Peter Frampton.
I was like, I almost feel bad because I don't know if I should feel bad by him fighting or him throwing punches and then just like trying to be like Homer killing a fly on somebody's chest.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to show you if I can find the real Tarzan. Who is the real Tarzan? He's fighting Vitor Belfort. I can't. It's Tarzan. It's like two N's, by the way. Tarzan. But
Okay. Yeah, so he tried to make himself unique. Ooh, I got two N's in my name. I'm the original Tarzan.
Black Tarzan, so it makes sense he added the extra N, you know what I mean?
We know why. Because he's black.
I don't understand why it's going on. Tarzan, I'm fighting people. He goes, "We're fighting for animals." His name is Mike Holston. Vitor Belfort is fighting the real Tarzan. It's in June. It's on the same card as like, I think there's some actual fights going on. There's actually some good fights. Also, who do you like this week? Adesanya or Martin Vettori?
I don't know, and I want Vettori to win, but because he's just, here's my thing. I want him to win because of the fact that he's dumb as rocks and he's going to walk forward and throw a lot of punches. Like, I'm not saying like he's like completely stupid. I'm saying like he's going to throw all caution to the wind and just get as close to Izzy as possible and just start bombing on him. What we expected for Yoel Romero, I didn't do that to him, and no one did it. So he's been the closest one to do it. And since he's going to be better in better conditioning, have a little bit more of wrestling, he's going to be able to take him down and control that fight that way. I think that one's going to be like the more deciding factor is that he's going to take
it. Who's going to win? By the way, this is the real Tarzan.
That dude. So yeah. I expected a black dude with long hair.
No, this is the
the loincloth.
This is the real Tarzan. I guess he was arrested for battery, but I guess people broke into his house, and then he like beat him up. I think it'd be kind of funny if like he had like the animals working his corner, you know, like if his corner was like a baboon and like
the real. Should he call himself like the real Black Panther or something? Would that have been a better one?
I mean, he's older than a leopard. I mean, he could have gone with Killmonger.
The real Tarzan versus Vitor Belfort. I mean, Belfort's got to win this fight, right?
Good Lord. Well, it depends how good his steroids are this.
Oh, yeah. They're on the undercard of Teofimo Lopez, who's a really good boxer.
Yeah. How did that become a fight? On the undercard? What the? I'm doing something wrong. Hey, tell whatever YouTuber that wants to get beat up by a midget, let me know.
What did you think about Mayweather versus Logan Paul?
I've been trying to call Jake Paul. I was like, all right, if Tyrone wants to take that fight, I'll go ahead and beat you up. Like, I will go ahead and dust you. Like, Mayweather beat up Logan, I mean, I guess I could do it to Jake.
Now, Henry Cejudo called out Mayweather. You think he's got a shot?
That one's not going to go through. But Mayweather wants a fight that's going to actually make sense and make him some money. And then him beating up, like, Henry Cejudo. I mean, it's going to be kind of like what people expected. Jake Paul, I mean, Logan Paul to go ahead and do to Mayweather, that's really going to happen to Henry Cejudo. He might actually be ahead.
Now, Rick Ross has been training boxing. He claims that he knocked out 2 pro heavyweights in the gym. Is there
any? I would have done it. You don't have to be technically good. You just have to hit hard. To be a heavyweight, like I envy them because all they have to do is just do. And this has faster punches coming.
So you think Rick Ross really did knock out 2 heavyweights?
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it because like it's all have you seen the man? He's a big dude. Like he just has to put a little bit of weight behind it and just throw a little bit of technique with that punch, puts anybody to sleep. That's a lot of force.
I'm going to show you some of his training. Tell me what you think. Tell me how you think he's doing. Hold on. Let me see Rick Ross. Share a screen. Here we go. Twitter. All right. So here's Rick Ross sparring in the gym. What do you think?
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I mean, I kept on saying the same thing about Deontay Wilder. And he ended up becoming a world champion.
Flip flop song.
That was his like defining statement as to why he couldn't throw punches correctly because he had flip flops. Wow.
Tito Ortiz has been offered $100,000 to fight 2 people in Fight Circus at the same time.
Are they midgets? I mean, what kind of people want to fight Tito Ortiz, one, and how they're going to try to make that a handicap? Like, if that was the case, like, why didn't they let that fight between me and Joseph Benavidez against Francis Ngannou? Like, that would have been a better fight.
Yeah.
That would have been way more entertaining than Tito Ortiz being up 2 guys.
Do you think you and Benavidez could take Ngannou in a fight, 2-on-1?
Yeah, because I could definitely get him tired. He's going to be throwing a lot of punches, and then he's not going to try shooting on me. We already know that.
You don't think he would just knock out? You don't think he was knock out one of you, and then the other guy like that would? You don't think that would?
So the way I look at it, it's like jumping rope, right? You can do good, do amazing with one rope, and then you can get that timing of it. But if you're not used to having a double Dutch rope coming at you, having simultaneous ropes, you're not going to see all the punches.
It's a good point. Although I think I've been better at threesomes than I was with one chick at sometimes. I'm like you. I have ADHD and like focusing.
No, that's when you just let them go ahead and please themselves, and you're entertaining. You're like, oh hell yeah! And then it makes it seem like you're lasting forever. You're like, yes.
It's a good point. Now, John Jones at heavyweight, it's so frustrating because he wanted to go to heavyweight, and he went to heavyweight, and he's looking fucking thick. He looks strong.
And he's huge.
I mean, I don't know, man. He's one of those dudes like Mayweather. I just can't see him ever losing. You know, it's like, and he's that good. But now he wants more money, and he's not fighting Ngannou. Have you talked to him, like, John? What's going on? What are you doing?
No, he solely trains at his house. So John doesn't go to the gym as much as everyone keeps on thinking that he does. He goes over there, take a couple of pictures, to make it like look like he's active, but he's always at his house. Like, he has a gym at his house that he trains out of, and he makes sure that he looks like monstrous. And he trains, and he has a bunch of people come over there, and they're just doing what they need him to do to be able to get bigger and stronger and faster.
Wow. Now, does he, who does he bring in?
I have no idea. I don't go to his house. Do I look like the size of John to be heavyweight? Like, I can't get benefit that. Hey, John,
aren't you guys friends, though? Don't you guys, like, talk on the phone? Or doesn't he call you for advice?
Did we not just discuss this about my son has a phone and doesn't know how to use it because he plays video games on it, and it's solely my fault? That's all I use my phone for, split games.
So do you have any friends at the gym that text you, like, they need something, or?
Yeah, but that's when they actually need stuff. When they need something, I'm like, all right, cool, hell yeah, let's go. And then everyone else I'm friends with is friends with my wife, so they just get a hold of her because I know that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Got it. Finally, Bill, there's a girl fighting tonight. You got to see if you get PFLs on ESPN+, Clarissa Shields. She was an Olympic gold medalist. She's the best boxer to ever go into MMA. You know, Holly Holm obviously was an amazing boxer. I think Clarissa was better, to be honest. Just straight boxing. What?
Because she's woke. The GOAT. Yeah, the GOAT. Yeah. The greatest woman of all time.
Clarissa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just straight accolades. Holly Holm was a great boxer. Mm-hmm. But Clarissa, I think, was on a different level. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more aware of female boxing than I was back then. But it just seems like, right? It seems like she reached a different standard. Holly never won a gold. They were both, I mean, Holly wasn't undefeated as a boxer, right? She was more of a kickboxer, right? Or what?
She's more of a kickboxer, but she wasn't a pure boxer. She didn't go in there and start dominating in the boxing field because of the fact that they just couldn't keep up with her movement.
Right.
And she only got knocked out once.
Right. And Clarissa never lost. So mm-hmm. we'll say that she's the greatest female boxer of all time. People will say Leila Ali is the greatest female boxer of all time. I'm not that well versed in female boxing to make the argument either way, but she's amazing. So she's trained in MMA now. You've watched this happen. She's been at the gym for what, a year?
Yeah.
How does she look? Talk to me. What does she go? How's her ground game? What are your predictions?
She's been working heavily solely on being able to understand MMA. So she's understanding the parts, get back to her feet, the air she's doing it. And I've actually been excited that she's been trying to incorporate a lot more kicks into her game. With that being said, though, I think that she's going to walk out there and just dust his chick and just hit her with a clean straight right and break her jaw.
Right, but how's her takedown defense?
Surprisingly gotten better. So it's gotten way better than when she first started, because she's actually a good athlete, but she can when people try to explain things to her, like, hey, you need to control the head and do this, she looks at you with a blank stare, like, what the hell did you just say? Like, it's a foreign language. But then once she sees you do it, then she can mimic it exactly. So she goes up and picks up things very quickly.
She's got the perfect person helping her in Holly, because that's the person who knows exactly what she's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And also, she's a different weight class. So it doesn't, like, she have to worry about, oh, I don't want to get this girl too good, because then she's so I'm excited. Now, I think the PFL is trying to make Kayla Harrison versus Clarissa Shields. It seems
right
like
away.
They're going, because both of them are gold medalists, both two-time gold medalists. They're both going to be undefeated in MMA. How do you see that fight going down?
It's going to be interesting, because it's going to be like that old-time classic between striker versus like great grappler. And like we already know, Clarissa's going to sit there and be able to go ahead and keep her at that distance and that range. But, man, Kayla is going to sit there and try to hit that nice judo throws that she has been. That's what she's been dominating all PFL with. So I'm excited to kind of see what's going to happen, if who can dictate what pace and how it's going to go.
They're both mean, too. They're both, like, mean. Like, not, like, in a bad way. But
they're
mean
fighters. Yes.
They have that fucking – that citizen.
I'm going to kill you attitude.
Yeah. It's crazy. Bill, any final questions for the great John, the magician Dodson?
hey, man, I'm serious. You're one of my favorite fighters and one of my favorite personalities. You have seen, I loved you on The Ultimate Fighter. I just want to see you fight again, man. I want to see you back there. So I can't wait. When is your next fight again?
Fighting on July 30th.
July 30th. Yeah. Awesome, dude. Sure.
Yes, and this is a good promotion. Is it going to be on Fight Pass? Is it going to be on?
To tell the truth, I have no idea. Like, they asked me if I want to fight this dude. I was like, yeah, don't turn down a fight. Let's go. Let's go ahead and do this. I'll take this one up right now.
So Coach, don't take him lightly. He's good. He's good.
Oh, I'm not taking him lightly at all. I just realized that he's like 5'10", so I have to be closing the distance a lot so I have to get in range of his punches. And then he likes to throw a sneaky elbow, so I'm praying to God that my height comes into like play at that moment. When he tries to throw an elbow at his own head, it misses my head.
By the way, Mayhem's out of jail. So he got out 2 weeks ago, and he's coaching. He told me you were his favorite student ever. So,
oh, nice. Hey, John, I have a question. Yes. How many can you? Your backflip. Will you be able to do that forever?
I don't know. Tell you the truth, I'm going to be able to do it forever as long as I keep on practicing it, because my kids keep on telling me, hey, Dad, we got a trampoline in the bag. Why don't you sit there and do it? I'm like, I got to get warm up. They're just go do it. So I have to practice it with them every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, John,
so I'm going to keep on doing it until my legs fall off.
Have a great weekend, John, and thank you for everything, brother.
Well, no problem, man. You too.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care. That was Latest. The best. Fucking, I love that guy. John Dodson, what a great guy. Fucking good.
He's
dude.
Amazing. Yeah,
just funny as hell.
He's really funny. Like, he has a personality. He should do like broadcast shit more, or comedy or something.
100%. I may have to take that clip of him talking about John Jones going, "Are they gone?" and just putting that.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I may have to put that on Instagram. I feel like that would be a lot of hits. But Bull, thank you for everything, man. And you're the best, brother.
Thank you, man. Good to see you, bro. See you soon.